live.
Lucky we weren't live. Now we are live.
Shit.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Blue Abroad Show. I feel like it's a very special Blue Abroad Show. There's just
special.
A bit of feeling in the air. I'm Terry. I've got Pommy, Joe, and Paolo. Hello, gents.
Good evening.
Evening.
This, we haven't done this in a while, the four of us. It must be crisis talks.
it's always crisis talks with this club by the looks of it. Nah, we'll be right.
We will be right. So good evening to all of you that are joining. Thank you for being here. It's been a frustrating weekend, another frustrating round. Obviously, a disappointing performance against a quality team. And I think by the end of tonight, we have to add a layer of perspective and kind of move on with it because it's round eight and the season's not dead. I know a lot of us might be feeling like it is. But we're going to cover absolutely everything. So first and foremost, I'm going to start the show with the fan cams compilation and then we're going to get into the round eight review and we'll just go for it, boys. So stand by. Just another painful experience, to be quite honest.
They've sucked any words that I can think. But I mean, what you saw tonight, you know, from a tactical, a structural point of view, from an execution point of view, it kind of is a great simile for the culture of the club. We talk about that a lot. And it feels at times that after last week, we said this time, this week, we would know. We would know if that meant anything, if Voss was telling the truth. They were out of form. And the culture of this club just seems, from top to bottom, it's a festering losing mentality. Bad people hired to do hard jobs. Favours called upon to get people into the club. Players given way too much money, way too early. Heroes made before they've even become AFL average. And we've become a brand club, not a football club.
I can accept losing. I can.
Yeah, yeah.
What I fail to accept is the lack of progression year after year.
Every team's got A-grade stars. It's your middle and lower tier players that make the difference. And we just simply haven't found a way to get them to the next level.
Just a reactive club, man. Yeah. No proactivity at all whatsoever. First quarter, man, they give us a little bit of hope. I'm like, all right, they're playing quicker footy. We look all right. Less than a goal down. But you can't go from kicking five goals, man, in a quarter to kicking one goal in two whole quarters against a team who's obviously going to be in the top four, top six end of the year.
We can talk about potential and talent and all that stuff, but it's the fundamentals, the footy basics that these lads don't do.
Hey, what pains me is that I want to know what's going on behind the scenes. We're in serious risk of wasting Paddy Cripps' entire fucking career, which I cannot believe is even a possibility right now.
Did we do the right process in putting all the right people in the right positions? And it doesn't look like we have, because if you haven't got those positions correct, you're not doing anything. You're not doing anything. Mate, Sayers has got a lot to answer for. Greg Williams has got a lot to answer for.
I remember the first time I ever came on fan camp, what was the first thing I said? Where are our leaders? Yeah. I can't believe after 3 years I'm asking where are our leaders again.
And like, I don't want to overvalue the players or put them up on pedestals, but there are some legitimate guns that other teams would have died to have. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We seem to play this very contested, not particularly accurate disposal style game. And I can think of a number of players that play their footy like that. And it's a great way to play your footy. But the problem is if your whole midfield plays like that, then it's really difficult to move the ball well. So what we lack and what we don't have, and I think I spoke about this to you a few weeks ago, I can't think of those players who have got that really sublime foot skills on both sides of the body under pressure that can hit that 25 to 35 meter kick as we transition the ball between the arcs or inside the 50. It just isn't there enough. And it too often it comes unstuck. and too often it absolutely devastates us.
Voss can't kick that ball on game day uncontested. It's just, it is just insane. I cannot believe that we go every week thinking that it's going to be a different result at this point.
And talk about it with such confidence.
It's so stupid. Honestly. Anyway. What are you going to do, man? Just do it all again next week. This is what I'm saying. We're just going to rock up again next week and we're just going to do it all over again.
It feels like it's worse than 2021, honestly. Like, just because the years have gone by now, we've gone through our process of bringing in a new coach. Our list is unreal. And, like, it just feels worse.
Like, that was just that mentality. It's that we're too soft.
Yeah, I'm really worried. I'm really worried.
This is a bit extreme, but maybe is it just as simple as we have the most overrated list in the comp? Could it just be that? Like,
yeah. En mala sort, mate.
En mala, yeah. Yeah.
All right. That's 2 hours and 2 minutes. I feel better. Definitely. How can you not? You just gotta get it out. That's what this is all about. Getting around each other, getting together. Just letting it all out, trying to make sense of it, and then surprise, surprise, the sun will rise tomorrow and we'll move on. The lack of progression does not make sense consistently. Does not make sense. They are working hard. They're not working hard. I refuse to believe they're not working hard. All right, let's begin. Bit of everything in that. What we'll do is we'll start with round 8 and just get it out of the way. And then we'll move on to the comments of everyone. Everyone wants to talk about what Chera said and what Cook said and success, failure. We'll get through it all. I'll start with you, Pommy, then I'll go to Joe, then Paolo. And then you guys at home, 3 words to summarize round 8. Pommy, what have you got? Where are you at right now with it?
I'm all right, because there comes a point of time that you've got to stop holding your teddy bear, screaming at the clouds and having a suck, and yeah, be an adult and go, right, we're in the shit, we've got to somehow get out of it, do you know what I mean? And that's what adults do. It was a systematical breakdown. Everything that we've seen in 8 weeks was stark. Horizons. I don't think Adelaide and Brisbane played particularly well either. They just executed and ruthlessly broke apart Carlton's system. And as the game wore on, third, fourth quarter, you started to see the mentality of the boys as well. They knew they'd lost. The crowd knew they lost. The whole life sapped out of it. When you see Nick Newman punching someone in the face and then giving up chases, that says everything. Frustration, apathy. And it was all in all, to summarize, piss poor.
Joe?
Yeah, it's a good summary. It was more of the same, right? It's more of the same of what we've seen for the first 8 weeks of this season. Unforgivable, inexcusable ball use, like across the park from everyone. Contested or uncontested, pressure or no pressure. It was just atrocious again. I said sort of last night on the pod, it's almost as if, because we tend to dominate the stat sheet with disposals and we see this week in, week out, right? And it just now almost feels as if opposition teams are just taking the piss out of us and they're happy for us to have the ball because they almost know we're going to turn it over. 85 of their 100 points scored off turnover is out of this world bad. Like so bad, and it's not a one off now. Like this is, like Pommy said, it's systemic. It feels systemic within this group, regardless of who they're surrounded by, regardless of who steps out there. You've got players with historically good ball use, like Sam Doherty, or like even Adam Saad to an extent this season, just Jacob Wiedering, unrecognizable coming out of the back half. And I don't know. It's just, like, you know, Yeah, we've got to get around. We've got to get around them. They've got to get around themselves at the end of the day. And they've really, really got to pull their finger out.
Paolo.
Not good enough. That's it.
End of. Yeah. Yeah. Next. It's painful. It's painful. It's painful to watch. It's painful to watch because a few comments on the fan cams said things around, you just feel like they're wasting time. And I don't know if that's the case yet because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. But I would say most of our 22 was out there. Most of our best 22 was out there on Friday night.
It was. You know?
So no, now what? You know, so how do you go from Friday night to now? Like, what's the process now?
That's the question, isn't it? Don't know. They've got to find it within themselves. Find the belief within themselves. Because you know, you look at. And I think looking back at the game and watching the replay, a lot of the setup itself and structurally is to a certain point, and up to a certain point, it's quite sound. But then the execution of that, like, I think who's that fella? I think he might have been on the channel a couple of weeks ago, Crispy TV or something like that. Yeah.
Shout out.
He put together this 9-minute little monologue through the third term, and you could see that there were moments where we were perfectly set up to aggressively attack Brisbane, and the players just didn't execute or take the kick or play on what Pommy and I have been discussing throughout the week on instinct. And a lot of it was, okay, far out, we know we have to do this certain thing. Like the Saad exits from the D50 were just manic. Like it was just, they looked for him every single time when he was not the best option. And, you know, there were players on the out that were clearly a better option, and they continually used him. And it just, it built up to a point where we tried to exit D55 six, seven, eight times doing the same thing. We couldn't. And then the pressure builds and builds and builds. And as the pressure builds, because you can't find a way out, you revert to doing something that you probably wouldn't have. And Saad tried that kick on the inside, turned it over. I don't think it ended up being a goal, but I think that was just symptomatic of the whole team. They just go into their shells when nothing really goes their way in that first bit of the third term. So is that a bit on them? Yeah, it is, but it's also on us as well to get behind them and motivate them to make sure that they take those kicks, because it went dead silent when Brisbane went 3-4 goals up. Yeah, we're all in it together. Don't just absolve yourself from it as a fact. We're all in it together. That's one thing we can't absolve ourselves from too.
Yeah. Pommy, the game plan is the game plan. How much of Friday night was execution?
100% of it. For those who watch the Pommy and Oz channel, shout out to you. You're the real MVPs. We tried to cover it. I mean, you've got to break the system down, and there's a lot of fallacies about the system as well. And I did like Buckley. I'm sure you'll cover Buckley a bit later because he's your boy, your traitor. But Buckley was right, and I did my video way before Buckley, but we did talk about St Kilda and Collingwood, who are the examples to follow. You can see what Voss has done. We talked about the tick attacker, which we know Port stole their backline movement off. And the three core fundamentals of tick attacker are a lack of foot speed, an emphasis on ball speed, and that's where you generate it. And you look at teams that play tick attacker, they're not genuinely quick. They move the ball quickly, and you break zones by the way the ball moves. And you watch Carlton play. Cripsy was nailed it. And you see, though, the way that you play, it's got to be instinctive. So when you're asking how do we fix this, players are overcoached. You can see it, and you can see it in players throughout the history of Carlton. SPS used to be an instinctive, creative player. Suddenly he became this short kicker when he was known for taking the game on. That's coaching. Paddy Dow, you see the change in his game from who he used to be, overcoaching of previous establishments. I think what you're starting to see now is there's a great turnover in the third from Wietering. Doherty makes the lead, and he goes to hit him, and then he stops as soon as he takes the mark. Then he goes again and he stops. Then suddenly Doc's surrounded by two players, one of them being Dunkley, and he takes the kick, and Doc gets pummeled, and it's a goal.
And you see from quarter one, when Carlton were playing quite well, Wieters took the ball, bang, he hit McGovern in centre-half back. You can see the negativity of rises. It's almost like watching Rain Man at the card table when it's pressured. And if you actually froze Wietering when he took the ball and then you added matrix numbers on one side of the screen and the clock reversing, that was Wietering's mind. He was like, all right, cool. I need to go. Oh, do I go there? And that's the big part of Voss's game plan. It's the onus of how they set up. There was times in the third, and the stats are damning, over 80 points turnover, but a large part of them, nearly 60 points, are in defensive half. So yeah, where we've got the ball. And we'll come on to that statistically later. That's a habit of the season. But you actually see it happening before it happens. Carlton are set up to go down the blind side. They make the initial movement. And then for whatever reason, that's slowed down. The switch between Wietering and Young is case in point. They switch it to each other. One of them's got to hit that ball straight away, but they pause. And then the initiative is lost. And the way a forward press works like Brisbane, they have 16 players in your defensive half. So if you don't hit the target straight away and you slow it down, sayonara, pack your bags, war's over. And that's why I say Brisbane weren't that good. They just played their game. And like Joe nailed it, statistically, numerically, we have been ahead a lot of games on the stat sheet. The reason is, though, the execution is so poor. Carlton are like plus two from transition scores, but they are scoring really well from transition. The problem is when they lose the ball, they lose the ball in suicide hotspot in sport, and that's in front of your goals. And the old saying in soccer, when in doubt, kick the fucker out. That's the problem. We're trying to play it out into the hot spots. And it's basics. It's basic mindset. Basic mindset.
Joe, last year we seemed to have a really instinctive team. Seemed to be playing with a little bit more mental freedom. And, you know, you can argue that it was a bit of a basic game plan just to strip it right back a bit from what they were doing under Teague. This year, it seems like we've tried to add some advancement to the game plan. I spoke about this earlier with Pommy. I want to ask you, is this team prepared? Is this team ready for an advanced game plan? Or are they players that are more catered to an instinctive game style?
Apparently not. Because if they were ready, to Pom's credit, he broke it down beautifully. And to Paolo's credit, that Cripsy video, if you haven't watched it, go find it on Twitter because it breaks it down perfectly. It's actually, most of the time, it's set up for us to take the game on. And there's this hesitation to go at all times. Like we might even just have an instinctive switch on across the half back line and they don't even look. Like they're not even looking. And I get it. Like, you know, Jules makes the argument that you have to train that. You have to coach that into players. Well, you don't. Players have to have some sort of instinct about them to be at that level. Like, you've got to have some game awareness about you. You know, there's executing a game plan and then there's doing the right thing in the moment. And these players just seem incapable of doing that, let alone taking on a more advanced system than what we saw last year. There's the argument that, you know, St Kilda's playing inspired footy, Essendon are playing inspired footy. Even North in the first few rounds, they look good. Like, it's the new coach feel. We had that last year. People forget that. We had that for the first 10 weeks. There's no expectation. The shackles were off. You know, I'm not saying that's eventually going to wear off on those teams, but we've seen it wear off on us. And at some point, you have to bite the bullet and you have to actually execute what your coach wants you to execute. I truly believe that whatever game plan that they're going with and whatever style that they're going with is to set us up for sustained success. Do we have the players to execute? No. We see that on a weekly basis. Like the basic skill errors, basic stuff.
Yeah, that's where I think, I mean, we've been speaking about mentality for years. Paul, I think that might be one of your many catchphrases.
Bloody oath. Mentality.
They seem to be a little too slow to think. And Brisbane only need to buy themselves 0.3 of a second with each possession to save enough time to catch up to us. And not just Brisbane, anyone right now. So how do you unlock and speed up their thought process? Because They know what they need to do, surely.
Yeah, yeah. I think the role of the coach and Pep Guardiola has always said this, and a lot of elite coaches and managers at the top level in their professions say that. I think Jurgen Klopp's assistant also said this as well. The role of a manager and the role of a coach and leaders on the field is to remove all doubt. The moment you have any doubt, that's when it's over. That's it. You're finished in a passage of play, with a set shot, with a game, whatever it may be. So, the role, I think for us from a game point of view on the field, the role of the manager and the coach and certain players is to get you to the final. Like the role of the coach is to get you to the final third. That's what Pep has always said. My goal, my job as a coach is to get you to the final third. Your job is to finish the business. At the moment, we're getting to the final third. We can't finish the bloody business at the minute. That's the problem. Look at the way we move the ball. Like it just a little bit of doubt creeps in, bang, you're done. And that's what happened on Friday night as well. So how do you train that out of these blokes when that's all they've known for 5, 6, 7, 8 years? And I think if we go back and look at when we brought Voss in, I know finals is the expectation, obviously, but I actually do think it was a regeneration of where we were at as a club. We needed to put better building blocks in place to get to the ultimate and sustained success. So it's going to take everything and everyone. And to just pinpoint... I think this is what I put in my thread on Twitter as well, to pinpoint one person or one thing at the club on a weekly basis is not, it's not productive for anybody. And that's all we've done as a fan base for 20 years. And what's it done for us? Fuck all. It's done nothing for us. We do the same thing as fans every week. Oh, he's not good enough. She's not good enough. He's not good enough. He shouldn't be there. He shouldn't be there. We continue to do the same thing week in and week out, and it doesn't do anything. So... again, I do purely think it's an execution point of view. How do you work on that? How do you remove doubt? You've just got to keep at it and keep at it. And I think the one thing, and Pommy and I were having a chat about this before we hopped on, you look at, and I know Arsenal haven't achieved anything, and I know I keep reverting back to them, and it's not due to bias or anything like that, but I look at the way that they've developed as a club, and I think it's the perfect model is when Mikel Arteta first came in, results were bang average at best, probably where Carlton is. We saw there was an incremental improvement. We saw it. Everyone's like, oh, and then everyone came for his head. They missed top four last season. Everyone came for his head. He's not good enough. Get rid of him. The style doesn't work. He didn't have the cattle there, but he just backed himself in. He kept playing that same style, because he knew eventually that it was a style that was going to be there to get us to where we want to be. And he's got a bit of the cattle in now. He's got some belief behind him, and he used the failure of last season to catapult them into, you know, a title charge. And I think that's what we just need to continue to do, really. And that'll segue into Cher's comments, which you'll get onto. So that's my take on it anyway.
Yeah. I'm going to play a couple of clips tonight. It's going to be a long show tonight, so strap in. But I'm going to play some footage of Bucks talking about Carlton on a high level.
Yep.
If you look at them statistically, you know, they're up in contested ball differential. Their clearances are okay. They're defending turnover okay.
What's their
top
ball
six
movement like? And
their ball movement is very similar to St Kilda's. You know, so and St Kilda are exceeding expectations. But in terms of uncontested marks, kick handball ratio, and mark play on percentage, they're actually very similar. They try and build from the back, and then they try and go when they get their opportunity. And they actually finish better inside 50. So there's a lot of things that you can't actually to drill down and look at it. It doesn't give you the full picture. The picture is that Carlton's game is taken away from them too easily by the opposition, and Carlton don't spend enough time taking the opposition's game away from them. They think they're going to win it on talent. They think they're going to win it on ability, and they've got every right to, given what they've got at their disposal. And they are handling some loss of personnel at the moment. But they don't work hard enough at taking the opposition's game away from it.
Mm.
And that is more than half the game of footy.
And they butcher the ball, Bucks. Like, they butchered the football in the first quarter like I haven't seen this year. So I think eventually they had 85 points from turnover against them.
They did. But
they couldn't cope with that See, Brisbane did take that away from – they did come with a pressure and a forward line intensity that had Carlton jumpy, I thought.
But even in that, like, as bad as that was on the weekend, and we've said about their offence, they're still – they're seventh for turnover scores against. So they're not, like, bottom four. Mm. They're middle of the road here. So it's not – it's not the thing that is doing them the most damage. It's all of these little things added up. But I think tactically – Carlton need to drill their game down to contest and pressure, and they need to work out how they're going to take the opposition's game off them more readily, because that brings your strengths to light, rather than just thinking that you're going to match people on an even playing field and then just trade blows until you see who wins. That's one way to go about it, but I think the best teams take the game away.
Pommy, thoughts?
There was parts I agreed with, but I think Buckley is really oversimplified, as most of the mainstream media do, because some of the things just are simply factually incorrect. So you've got to look at world sports. So if you look at patterns are a big coach's tool in every sport, golf, tennis, cricket. We look at patterns that other people are doing, and patterns in AFL to soccer is about 7 years behind. So the developments that you see in soccer in a coaching system, the ball movement transcends to AFL eventually. It has to, because that's the world leader in sport. But you look at what Voss is doing. We'll come on to it when you look at the figures. I don't want to give too much away, but you actually gave me, and I want chat to do it while I'm talking, give me three things we're shit at, but in a term of a profile of the list. So what I mean by that, is the list quick? Is the list slow? Is the list a good user? Is the list a poor user? And you build your tactics around negating your weaknesses and maximizing your strengths. But Voss is playing a disposal-heavy game plan. Now, why does tiki-taka work, which is ball retention? Because you can't fucking score if you don't have the ball. So that is the plan to beat the opposition. We're going to have the ball. What can you fucking do with it? What he nailed was the running. And there's a reason why, since Nick Austin's been there, every player he's got runs very elite numbers. We're talking huge Ks, huge kilometres. Because this system requires a fuckload of movement off the ball, as well as with the ball, to negate our lack of foot speed and bring it on with the ball. So people have nailed it here, right? Slow, poor use, mentally fragile, fantastic. Composure, short kicks, corridor football, brilliant, Brody. Slow, lack physicality, kicking, fantastic. So what Voss's game plan is meant to look like, and you saw it for 24 minutes of the fourth quarter of when it really came together. Game plan is built around what we're shit at. So he wants short, uncontested kicks. He wants slow, patient build-up where you go left to right, and when there is a gap, that's when you go. And when you go, you spread rapidly in short, sharp movements, beating every zone you come across with a chip kick here. And you actually watch, go back, and I implore you to intrinsically watch the third quarter. And then watch the first quarter. And the first quarter, every player runs uncontested. About 3 out of 5 players run uncontested in a 15 to 20 meter kick. The problem is like Joe nailed. These players don't see it. And that is comes down to, I think, habitual learning. And I would guarantee you, is it easy to fix? It's really easy to fix. Right? There's an old golf saying, and when you work with top players, like when I did, you back. You've done enough on the training course. You back it, and there comes a point, as a coach, you've got to trust your pupil has learned. You've got to trust your pupil has learned. And you've got to remove your ego and go, I need to stop talking. Just let him fucking do it. And Andy, he's obviously watched the video. One of the methods is 3 steps, 3 seconds. You start training them to be more instinctive with the new instinct. And there's a reason why they're shit when they're scared. Because when you're scared, you react to your default status. So if you're the kind of guy or woman becomes, you sit in your bedroom and cry, that's you. That's your native default status. If you then go to someone to fix that, they'll give you some building blocks to stop being like that. But you watch under pressure, it's not natural. And that makes it hard to do because part of you will be in bed crying for 10 minutes. Then you'll be like, oh shit, I've got the 5-step plan. That's what they're doing in game. So I would love Voss to come out this week and be really bold and upset all the fans and say, we've got no training this week at all. We have brought dads and mums and brothers. And on Wednesday, we played kick to kick. Remind the players what it's like when they're blank. Do you know what I mean? Absolutely blank. When they were totally blank and they were babies enjoying the game. And then you start putting in this effort to play the ball quickly. Play the ball quickly and fast without thinking. And that's the 3-step plan. Do you know what I mean? Get the boys playing non-contact football with little bells on that you've got to pull, like touch, and say, you've got 3 seconds to dispose it. And that's something that Mr. McRae, like Carlton says there, he does that. He does pressure simulation where they literally have a whistle, and when the whistle blows, it's change of possession. So they don't know it's coming. They've just got to count to 5 in their head. As soon as he whistles, change of ends. And just get them going back on instinct, because at the moment, they're thinking way too much about it.
Yeah. Brings up a conversation around thought process around the fear of failure or the will to succeed. And we on this side, mate, we want a premiership. We want success. We're starved, 26, 27, 28 years, sick of this garbage. It's a burden. It's a burden. If it's on our mind, it's on their mind. And I'm wondering how far away from the present moment they are. Because when I reflect now on the first 8 games, the inability to think quickly about what to do tells me that there's something inside of their minds that's preventing them from doing that. And some of them might be motivated by that will to win. Others are motivated by the fear of failure and the kick up the ass. So that's why I'm with you. I'm with all of you. I think now is not the time to panic and sack the coach and send me a DM saying you better rip into him and you better do this and you better do that. Because how does that make us any better?
Agree. And another layer to that is to learn how to play that way and to learn how to play on instinct and to learn how to mesh that with a balanced brand of football or a balanced structure or a system or whatever you want to call it. The one question I've got is who have we brought in, you know, across the course of the rebuild that has come from a culture? I'm not even going to talk system, just a culture of being able to cultivate embracing the fact that you are an elite footballer and that you can execute and that you're at this level for a reason on field. What players have we brought in that you look to and go, yeah, he did that at Hawthorn. Yeah, he did that at Geelong. And then on game day, he does that for us. And the rest of the 21 players there on game day go, oh, okay, he took that kick. If he's taking that kick when I'm shit scared in the back line, I'm going to do that next time as well. And just play on instinct. I just think that's, if we really want to simplify it, in my perspective, I just think that's a layer that we're still missing. And maybe that's all. That is one of the last of the missing puzzle pieces that we need to fill in. I don't know, but I still don't look at this list and go, he's a proven match winner, and we've seen it elsewhere. There's no one, because we look at Charlie, we look at Cripps, we look at Harry, we look at all these homegrown talents that have piss poor winning records that don't know how to win games of football, and it's harsh to say, but it's true. Facts are facts. You know, so I'm with you 100% there, Pom. I think at the moment it needs to be stripped back to some sense, just to some extent. And I don't know if they're trying to do that or if they're still trying to overcoach, but overcoaching this group of players hasn't worked for the past 2 coaches, let alone this one. So yeah, it's not going to change anytime soon.
Paulo, the conversation around bringing leaders to the club and people that know what it takes, like it's been active for a while. I think that's why we brought like a Luke Power in. I think Michael Voss encapsulates everything that there is about
someone
that knows how to win. What are your take on the on-field version of that?
Yeah, it's hard to really get behind them when they've done nothing but losing. That's the problem. But they have to. Well, they've tried something to try to turn it around. I think we might have missed the boat a little bit with getting like a Gunston type or a Shields type, if that makes sense. Because I think that's what, when you look at what, I know Brisbane haven't won a flag or anything, but they went and got Hodgie, they went and got Birchall, they went and got Gunston. And I think to a certain extent it has worked because they have been there or abouts for the last sort of 3-4 years. But maybe we've missed the boat there potentially. Just when shit hits the fan in game, a little bit of composure, a little bit of, you know, cool the heads and just call the Jets gents. And, you know, it's not, I know the pressure's coming on, but we need to just keep doing what we're doing. So do we have that on the field at the moment? Probably not. I think that's definitely a big knock. Do we have it off the field? You'd have to probably say in the positions of executive management in the footy department, I'd say we've got it. Voss and Power and Ryan Cook and all these guys have been there and done it. So how they transfer that to the guys on the field, I don't know how. I don't know how they do it. That's the big question. That's the big question. How did Richmond do it? Richmond had no one in there for years. You know, they were all losers and they went bang. So, yeah, it's the biggest question, I guess. So, but I to go back to what I said about on field and maybe missing the boat with getting guys like a Gunston type, that may be something that the club has to look at potentially at the end of this season. But it's still a while away. It's still a long way away. We've got to deal with what we have now. As simple as that.
Yeah, correct. Reminder to everyone, it's round 8.
Yeah, we're still in the game, whatever that means.
And we're on the positive side of the ledger as well. Wow. You've got to keep that perspective.
That makes my eyes roll though too.
Yeah, of course. No, the point of what I'm asking is because we're wanting them to, you know, not give in and not accept what is and improve. And mate, round 6 we were asking for change. You know, round 6 we were blowing up and losing our composure.
Yeah.
As fans, you know, and I love that you started the show with that, Paul, because you said like it's on everyone. Everyone plays a role in this.
Well,
I want to ask those in the chat, how many of you saw the Adam Chera quote this evening? Just type a yes or no. I'll give you 30 seconds to type.
It's going to blow up.
No, it's not. It's not. How many of you in the chat saw the Adam Chera quote? Just type in yes or no.
Well, can we maybe – okay, no, go, because I think I know where you're going to go with this.
One sec. Lots of yeses.
Yeah. Awesome. I think is this the referendum, is it?
The same people who typed in yes or no, the same – all of you. How many of you watched the whole press conference?
Yes. Perfect question. Well done.
All of you that typed in yes, how many of you watched the whole press conference?
All of you. All of you.
Right. All of a sudden, the no's start to appear.
Do they?
So my point is, I think one of the reasons it really snapped me into gear where I realized, fuck, like we can't get sucked into it is because what's the media's job? What's the mainstream media's job? It's to find engagement.
Yeah.
And so all of you that typed in yes, and blew up and sent messages to me and Pommy and whoever else, you just became part of the problem because we panicked. So let's touch on the comments because the comments lead to probably a broader discussion, Paul, around,
yes,
you know, we've got Sayers that says expect finals in 2022, obviously, and then we start to see comments around back to the process as opposed to the end result. So let's talk about success and failure.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm stupid enough to continue to get sucked in by it all, and I'll put my hand up and say I'm silly with all that kind of stuff and say, I got enraged with Harry last season. You know, you let the emotions get the better of you, and then people were sending me the Chera press conference and sending me the quotes, and I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, here we go again. And then I actually watched the whole thing and I thought, yeah, I'm not going to fire at the hip just yet. Let's just let the season play out before we make any judgments. Let's just worry about next training session, Bulldogs this week, rather than focusing on what's going to come in 3-4 months' time. You know, you can't predict what the fuck's going to happen tomorrow. So,
yeah.
I want to hear Pommy's take on this because I think he's got a brilliant take on it all. And it probably goes against what we've, you know what? It probably goes against what we've done as a whole fan base and channel for the last 4, 5, 6 years, to be honest. And I think that's where we need to change as a whole group, because I think 100%. As a fan base, we continually get it wrong. And that's for all of us. Jumper yep. Punch, Blue Broad, everybody, all of us. Yeah.
I think I saw Petra in the comments. Petra, I need to apologize. Got a little bit emotional yesterday. I got sucked into it. I've been sucked into it all year this year. I have my moments where the hope is so up at the start of the year, and then you see the early disappointment or, you know, perceived disappointment, and then I lost my cool and I got sucked into the comments. I got sucked into it all as well.
Because you love it. You love the club, mate. You can't – when this is involved, like when your heart and your investment are involved, how can you not react? Like you want – I think the one thing is that as long as it's coming from a place where you want the club to be better –
yeah.
You want the club to get to the next flag, then that's as long as that's your intention, then that's okay.
Yeah. Pommy.
Well, I first want to put a caveat out there. I have a good friend of mine who was actually one of the journos asking the question, and he confirmed to me that what you saw as well off camera, that question was asked 3 times in different ways, right? Different ways. So he confirmed to me 3 times that question was put forward with a change of adjective. They were desperately trying to get a quote. But if you are upset by that, I actually genuinely worry about who your leaders are in your life. Because when you set a goal, and when you set a goal, the goal is there. The goal is set in stone. So if the goal is, I don't even think to play finals, it's to win a flag. That should be the goal. Your secondary goal is probably playing finals because you have to be in finals to play and win a flag. You can't do it anywhere else. But then the next part of it is that's a year journey. To win a flag from round one to September is 9 months, pretty much. You will have internally daily, hourly targets, and them targets could be all sorts of things. His exact words, if you actually break it down, were that he wanted to play finals, that the team wanted to play finals. They also understood that the fans want finals, and so do all the players at the club. His question, though, was if it's a failure. Now, if you work in development, you work in teaching, you actually know you're banned from using the F word. Failure is a banned word because failure means the end. And what I want to talk about big style is that when you're a teacher, thank you very much, babe. When you're a teacher, you will have a plan to get a kid to read. If that kid doesn't read, but by the end of that year, for whatever reason, he has nailed everything else, you keep that process going because probably chances are if he's got the fundamentals right, 2 years, 3 years, he is a big distance ahead of where he is now. And I liked what Chera says, because I use that at work as well. I will give you a target to make 20K a year in commissions. But from that point, I am looking at every step. And I won't say to that guy at the end of the year, oh, shit, you haven't made your commission target. Kill yourself. Do you know what I mean? That's it. You're done. You're sacked. I will actually go back and look at the monthly targets, the weekly, the dailies, and make sure we have hit the right processes, knowing next year will be fine because there's so many eventualities. So I actually liked his answer, to be honest. Call me stupid, but if he'd said failure, Jesus, we might as well trade the whole list. Do you know what I mean? You might as well trade the whole list.
Joe, what's your take? By the way, little boy in the comments section wants a little bit of limelight. Just calm down, mate. No one's doxing you. No one cares. Sorry, Joe. Go for it. Yeah.
No, that's all right. You've got admin to do when you do these sort of things. Yeah, look, I'll be honest. I'm probably not completely on board with all of that. I get it. I did watch the full interview and I still wasn't completely comfortable with where it ended. And I understand that the media looks to drag comments out of players and drag comments out of coaches. And the problem that I had with the response in the end was that he broke. And at the end of the day, like, you just can't be getting sucked into that. Because perception is whatever people want it to be. Reality is whatever people want it to be. And unfortunately, from a comment like that, you are going to get fans, supporters, opposition supporters, whoever it may be, looking at it and going, oh, well, they don't want to play finals. So it has to be a learning curve for Chera. You know, we can't just say that there's no accountability there, because you've got to be smarter knowing that if you are going to be put in front of a press conference, that they're going to try and jab you and they're going to try and get something out of you.
Well put, Joey.
Absolutely, and that's probably it. Rather than this is the mentality of the club, which I think I put on social media tonight, which isn't necessarily true. It's probably heat of the moment myself, but rather than it being that, it's more so, can we be smarter with what we're putting out there, please? Like, of course it's going to be twisted. Of course you're going to get play on people's emotions when you're saying that you don't think it's a failure if we don't play finals. 88,000 members want to play finals. And you don't, like, that's how it comes across, right? So there's got to be some accountability there. I don't subscribe to the thought that it should have been a more senior player. They're all senior players. They're all leaders at the end of the day. So just be better. You know, be better when you're in that environment. Know that they're going to come for you, and know that whatever you say is going to be twisted by the media at the end of the day. That's where my issue sort of stemmed with it.
Paolo, anything to add to that?
No, I think it's pretty well put. I don't think it's a case of, and I think people have got a right to be upset and be angry about it all, which is, you know, you can say what you want about it, but I think Joey said it right, where it's got to be a learning curve for the way we approach these kind of things. And you know, if you're cracking in front of journos, like, geez, you know, you got to, I think so, you don't have to put up a wall, but just be stern in your response. You know, and again, I know I refer back to Arteta, but I love the way he responds to all these things. He's just coy. They asked him before the Newcastle game, whether or not this season was a success or a failure. And he basically said, no, we wait until the season and the vision is done until we determine that. And we don't use those words. And look where he's come from. Look who he sat next to for 3-4 years. Greatest manager of the modern era.
I want to play a video, so we'll use this as a bit of a break for everyone. It's a 4-minute video, so just stick with me. Breathe. It just gave me a bit of perspective. I know everyone's talking about the Giannis Antetokounmpo comments a few weeks ago. I'm a bit more of a Kobe Bryant kind of guy. Anyway, have a listen to this and see it. We'll talk about it afterwards.
I always think that there's two types of players, players who love to win and players who hate to lose. Which one are you?
I'm neither. Meaning? Neither. Meaning that, you know, I play to figure things out. I play to learn something, right? Because I think if you play with a fear of failure, or you play with the will to win, or that supersedes the fear of failure, I think it's a weakness either way, right? Because if you play with the fear of failing, you'll have the pressure on yourself to play, you know, to capitulate to that fear. If you play with the sense of I want to win, then you have the fear of what happens if you don't. But if you find common ground in the middle, in the center, then it doesn't matter. You're unfazed by either, right? And that enables you to really just stay in the moment, stay connected to it, and not feel anything other than what's in front of you. So, you know, I try to just be dead center.
So a lot of people in general are afraid of failure. How did you become one of those people who doesn't seem to be afraid of failing?
It doesn't exist. It's not existent. What the hell does that mean? Seriously, what does failure mean? It doesn't exist. It's a figment of your imagination. What does it mean?
You pulling the Jedi mind trick on me right now. I'm like, does it exist?
No, I'm serious. Like, I'm trying to think, like, how can I explain it? So let's use happy endings, right? And then we can relate this to failure, why it's not existing. Like, you know, everybody talks about, like, everybody wants a happy ending, right? Now let's go to the reality of it, right? Let's look at a fairy tale story. Let's look at Snow White. Mm-hmm. She gets a happy ending. She finds Prince, whatever. She goes on. She lives happily ever after. Well, I call bullshit on that, because 2 months later, the fact is they had an argument and he's sleeping on the couch. Right? So the point is, the story continues. The story continues. So if you fail on Monday, the only way it's a failure on Monday is if you decide to not progress from that. Right? So to me, that's why failure is non-existent. Because, you know, if I fail today, I'm going to learn something from that failure, and I'm going to try again on Tuesday. And I fail, and I'm going to try again on Wednesday. So it doesn't exist.
You know what? Should my ratings go in the tank? That's exactly what I'm going to say to the boss. Hey, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, but you know what?
We should try it again on Thursday.
If your ratings go in the tank, and you know, which they won't, but if they did, you had learned a valuable lesson. You had learned a bunch of ways of how not to make a show that sucks. So then the next one would be better than the last one, right?
So are you telling me then, let's just say all the career statistics that you've compiled, they all still exist, still play for the Lakers, still, and all of that still happens. If you finished your career without a championship, you would not have looked at that as a failure?
No, I would have looked at it as being extremely disappointed because I had a dream and I had goals that I wanted to accomplish, right? And if I don't accomplish those goals, I have to ask myself why, right? So from my position, the reason why I would not have accomplished those things is poor leadership, failure to communicate properly with my teammates to put them in positions to be successful, lack of preparation. You know, all those things would be reasons why I don't win, right? So now, if that was the case, and in my career, I have to sit and I have to analyze that. And then as I move and I evolve, you know, post-basketball into business or whatever, those same weaknesses are going to reveal themselves there, right? So if I don't learn from that, I'm going to struggle here too, right? So I can take those situations and learn from those and have them, you know, make me a better person later in life. But if I don't take that stuff and apply that someplace else, then that's failing, which to me is the worst possible thing you could ever have, is to stop and to not learn.
So Kobe.
Just some food for thought.
Mate, Spawn.
Yeah, because we all tie it to the premiership. You know, we're the fans, you know, we just want to live to see one, 30 something years old. All I've ever known is failure. When's it going to change? 3 decades now. And then, all right, win a flag. What is that, the end? Is that it? Does it make us successful if we win one flag and then turn to shit again? You know?
Mate, he nailed it. And it's like what I was saying earlier when you asked me about the Chera interview. Nailed it. There's no such thing as failure. Like I actually think it's a dark place if you use the F word. Because I was always taught as a kid, it's an opportunity. When you fuck up, it's an opportunity to reinvent yourself. If you ever quit smoking or quit doing drugs, if you think the end goal is to be clean, you're probably going to fall back off the wagon. You take every day, every minute, every hour and build the building blocks so you eventually will be clean or will be successful. And I agree with Kobe. It's nice to know that the POM mentality and the Kobe mentality are entwined.
No, that's just why I thought, I mean, the fans can only add to the pressure at this stage, I think. I don't know what they need to do this week, but I feel like it's something around releasing the pressure in their heads. I don't actually know, can't pinpoint exactly how or what, but got to get them playing with that mental clarity again somehow. I just don't know how or what that looks like.
Rock up and find out. Don't walk out at three-quarter time.
Yeah. I've never seen anything like that. Never seen that many people leave like that. And I don't do it. That doesn't, whatever. If you want to leave, it made a statement. It was enough people leaving that it actually made a statement.
Yeah.
It was like, fuck, there's a lot of them that just gave up on it.
And fair enough. But now's the time to get behind them.
Yeah. Yeah.
We haven't done enough of it. We haven't done enough of it for 20 years. And I said, I put my hand up as well to know. I know I go pretty much every week and I don't leave, but you know, my rhetoric outside of that has not been to a point where I've got behind them enough, and I have to take responsibility for that too. And I think we all do, because we haven't got behind them. And I know we do in numbers because the membership say we do, but I think rhetoric is a big thing as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, it's not to say don't call out what you see.
No, it's not that.
And paint a positive picture for the sake of it. It's just more around, all right, let it out, discuss, yes. Unwind, unravel the mind, try and control the emotions. And when it gets tough, that's when we've actually got to unite and band together.
I think the one thing that is, it's easy to shake your fist at the sky and be angry and get upset with poor performance, which we all have the right to do and we need to do. But then the other side of that is that I don't think we have put the hand up and said, okay, well, what now, what's the solution? You know, because the solution that we've come up with as a fan base and our opinions have not been spot on for 20 odd years. It's sack the coach, bring in new players, blah, 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 blah. And the same thing, and we put another dollar into the merry-go-round and around it goes again. So as I said, it's easy to shake your fist and complain about one thing, but what are the solutions? That's the problem.
Yeah. It's... It's just a lot to take in at the moment.
It is. It is. But what are we here for? I mean, we're not here to – this channel is here to – and Pommy and I said it over the phone before we got on. Lambast them, mate. Slam them for poor performances. Within your right to do so. We do it. Everyone does it. But when that first ball is bounced, or before that first ball is bounced, you've got to come up with a solution, and you've got to back them in and say, okay, well, how do we make this better? So, you know, it's not about you're too positive or you're too negative. It's I don't think it's about that. I think it's what Kobe said. You've got to find it in between. You've got to find it in the middle, find the balance in the middle. You know, so as I said, look, I and what control do I have over them kicking a football? Probably not a lot. But, you know, I put my hand up and say, I think I've got it wrong a few times where I've slammed them and then looked at it and said, well, what have I actually done that's productive to actually make them a better club and make them a better team? Because we've all got influence over that. Don't think you don't.
No, it's true. It's true. I definitely lost my shit a couple of times this year.
Of course, yeah, but how can you not? How can you not? You go there with an expectation of you want your team to win, and you're so emotionally invested because we do. Pommy does hours of shows. Joey does all these hours of shows. You put all this content together. Mars, Rocco, and I put all this content together because we want the club to get to the next phase. We want them to get to that next flag and beyond. And when that doesn't happen, you get upset. You get emotional. And What are we going to do? Not get emotional? The players get emotional too. They're shattered as well, man. But again, that's not me saying, just back the club in blindly. It's not about that. I'll never do that. And I don't think any of us will do that, because if you back the club in blindly, well, they'll never get better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If you want emotion, go listen to the podcast we put together last night. That was
good.
Not as measured as this, but it's true. There's a balance, right? And it is. Sometimes it is okay. And if you got to let that out, you got to let that out. But I do subscribe to the thought that, you know, you do need to still back your club in. You know, if you don't, you might as well just jump off. Like, forget about it. You can't not back him in and then decide to jump back on when it all turns rosy again. You know, like these are the trials and tribulations of sport. Paolo, you said you used Arsenal. Like, I'm an Arsenal fan as well. And I was one of those ones that called for Arteta's head when we were 0-3 last year.
Put my hand up too, mate.
We had discussions, man.
Same boat.
You know, this is what it is. Sport is built on emotion for fans. For fans, it is built on emotion. Otherwise, there would be no sport. There would be no fandom. There would be no supporter base. But, you know, when it gets to Saturday night against the Dogs, come with full voice, man. Like,
make as much noise as you can. It's one thing that's really annoyed me this year is that we haven't been
vocal enough before games. We haven't been, and people will say, oh, it's up to the team to evoke the passion and the energy. And I understand that, but it is a trilogy. If one connection is off, then the other thing's not going to work either. You know, and you know, it's the brain, passion, clarity creates all the energy, and it's all one thing as well. So, and they haven't won Sweet F4 with Arteta, they've won the FA Cup. So I don't know what that person's talking about. But anyway.
I can't believe the United fan was pro Arteta. What's wrong with you?
Well, you were, Pommy. Yeah, bloody oath. He loved him.
Mate, class, you respect, knew. Class.
I've just seen here, Ugar has gifted 50 Blue Abroad memberships to people.
Man, Jesus.
Wow. I didn't know you could do that.
Amazing.
There you go. 50 of you just got a membership to the Blue Abroad YouTube channel.
There you go. Bang. He's a legend, Ward. See, that's the type of person you want around your club, mate. That's the type of person you want around your fan base. And you want, you know, like, again, you want, and we've done the right thing by, you know, selling out games. Don't stop doing that. And the message I think we sent at three-quarter time was, okay, fair enough, but back him in on Saturday. Back him in on Saturday.
Speaking of Saturday, let's start getting to some solutions. I watched a bit of the VFL.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming, Pommy, I know you definitely would have tuned in. Paul, you as well. Joe, I don't know if you did.
Yep.
I didn't watch all the game. What are some of the options from what we saw in the VFL? What did we see?
Matty Owies was probably, in fairness to him, was probably the only one who like really, really put his hand up, if we're going to be totally honest about what we're doing, and especially when we're talking about Voss's system, true small forward. He never left inside 50, to be fair to him. Tackled hard, ran all day. Murkoff showed signs. It was a great battle for him against Darcy Fort, actually coming up against someone who is a real AFL ruckman who's played, improving every week. Dow had a decent crack at it, but I think if you're honest, you can see why he's not at that level. And when you have an understanding of Voss's system, not bigging my own content up, but go and watch it, you'll kind of understand why that would be the antichrist of what we're looking for. Fisher racked them up. Interesting, played almost 90% on the ball, which is interesting. Matty Cottrell, I forgot about him. He had a huge, huge impact. Hit the scoreboard, ran all day. 60% wing, rest, half forward. He was good. Binns just continues to build a good body of work. Is it time to bring him in? Probably not for me. I like him honing his craft because he's getting better every week. Lemmy, interesting, swung down the back. Played a little bit on the wing, taking some mats. They're really starting to iron him out and give him some roles around the ground. That was quite interesting. I think that's everyone, isn't it? I don't think I've missed any AFL players who played. Oh, Fogg. He was just Fogg. And special mention, though, Harley Reid. Like, honestly, I watched that kid dance around and play football. And I'm going to be totally honest. It's like the first time I heard the Beatles. Do you know what I mean? I had a little bit of a tear in my eye. I feel a stirring in the loins. That kid can ball, I tell you. And it was interesting because I would say, I hate to be horrible to the AFL-listed players, but when that game was on the line, a lot of the issues you see in the seniors are definitely there in the VFL, definitely there, ball movement-wise, indecision. It was quite scary watching him play because I tell you what, that guy's got big cojones and a big brain. And Boydie was solid. He hit his targets. He was very direct. I knew I forgot one. But, we've got no chance of getting Harley Reid, though. But honestly, go and check it out for Harley Reid. The kid has got great hair and he's got some absolute class about him.
17-year-old, best on ground. Love it.
It's hard to compare them, though, because you're talking about, I'm not going to use the G word because generational is moronic, but he's a bit good. Let's be honest. You're looking at a kid that ain't here, you know, to sniff socks.
he's here to take over, and he's a very good player. What a bizarre analogy that I just came up with. I was going to say something else, but it was X-rated. So I had to shift it last minute. Apologies.
Very good. All right. Team selection, round 9. Boys, what are we doing? Team changes. Early look. We don't have too much of an injury report to back. I don't know where.
Newman's going to be rubbed out regardless. You can't be doing that. That won't stand for that at the tribunal tomorrow. I can't see him getting off. So that's one gone. You'd think if you want a like for like, probably Jordan Boyd, right? Like, you don't want to bring in a non-defender for a defender at this point. Just keep similar sort of structure and system at least. So that's probably one that I'd want to see. I think we've sort of missed a bit of Jordan Boyd's kicking as well, to be honest. Before the injury last year, he looked like he was really coming on in that back half. So I haven't watched too much of the VFL. I don't know how he's going, but if he's fit and Newman misses, it'll be good to get him in just for the one game, see how he goes.
Paul?
I was a Monty to come in, clearly, because that small forward area is... Jesus. Yeah, it's lacking at the moment. It's a lot of work.
We've really missed him. Like,
funny enough, we have.
Since that GWS game, we have really missed always as a bit of an alternative target at times, because he was playing that role beautifully.
Now, I think what the beauty about this week is that we've got options. So there is an option to play all three smalls, Durden, Owies, and Motlop, and maybe drop Honey. There's also an option to bring in Owies for one of the small forwards and bring in Cottrell for maybe Josh Honey to play that high half forward role. There's also an option down back as well to potentially bring in Boyd for Newman, or they could, rather than have Doherty operate on the ball, bring Kennedy into the team and for Newman, and then throw Doherty down back to play a bit more of a role down back as well. So there are options there. I think Kennedy will come into the team, and I think the only bloke to probably come in from the reserves would be the only two would probably be Owies and Cottrell, and maybe Boyd. They're probably the only two or three I think that had come in and out. So it'd just be more how they want to balance up the omissions with how they want to play it, if that makes sense. Because I think Cottrell needs to come into that high half forward role, because we don't get anything out of it at the moment. We really don't get it. And it really hurts Harry and Charlie. Really hurts them.
Yeah. Pommy, anything to add to that?
I'm giving my boy Hollands a break. Cottrell's coming in straight away. Boyd's coming in for Newman. Josh Honey leaves for Owies, and Ed Kerner goes to the sub, and we bring in Matt. I do what I want in 12 minutes of football, Kennedy. Bring him back in my team and let him go head to head with that big nose prick Bontepelli.
Didn't he have some spark about him, Matt Kennedy? Goodness me.
Yeah.
Proved the point.
Did he have something off the field happen as well? Because I know he kissed his armband, and I think his missus might have put something up on Instagram or something. So I don't know if he's going through the wars at home or something. I'm not too sure.
Yeah,
so.
I found that a little bit.
I hope he's all right.
That the club didn't sort of, I mean, unless it was a very private matter.
It seems that way.
But I did notice that there was something in there for sure.
I want Kennedy in. I want him in.
I know it's harsh on my boy Holland, but no one loves Hollands more than me, right? No one does. Like, I love him more than his dad, right? But I want him to get a break. He's worked his arse off. He's throwing his body in. Let's not take the instinct out of him. Give him... Yeah. Cowan looked all right in VFL this week. He looked like he was enjoying himself. Move Hollands there. Just give him a couple of weeks. Long season now, but Cottrell, he was sensational in the VFL. He was quite sexy, to be fair, and give Fisher an actual week at high half forward in the VFL, because this midfield thing blagged my head. 40 touches in the wet. I don't get it.
Really weird, wasn't it? Spending time on ball, and then you look at his role in the AFL team, it's completely different.
I understood it, because I think he maybe just gives him a little bit of chutzpah. Do you know what I mean? He's kind of looked a little bit like a kid in the shopping centre. hasn't he, in AFL level? Like, get him impactful, get him to enjoy it. But I would like to see him high half forward, bang 4, 5, 6 goals and just get that confidence flowing. Mm. But I understood why he was on the ball, but it just, it was 40 of the most, no disrespect, Terry, I know he's your boy, but it was 40 of the most fucking pointless touches I've seen in football.
It's all right, mate.
No offense.
Just need, no offense taken. He just needs a bit of confidence. Got to get himself back to his best, you know? Yeah. Get a feel for the pill.
That's the what pill I felt, bro. I felt that was it. Give him a lot of the ball so he felt involved. And hopefully this week we see him across high half forward and he can have a little bit of a bit of fun.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Let's move on. What's coming up this week? Well, we had the Almost Blues Brothers last night, Sunday night. We've got the Jumper Punch tomorrow. Let me just find their special guest for the week. I have a guest. This is interesting.
Hey, Blue Baggers. Brett Thorne here, out of Parkville. Used to beat some of the best forwards in the game, but you'll never beat the boys from the Jumper Punch every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Thanks, boys.
Oh, got it first go.
Perfect. That was the first go.
Awesome, boys.
Well done.
Oh.
For him and himself and everybody around, because he ain't got nobody to listen,
T-Bird.
We're going to work on that intro. It's a little long. Jumper Punch tomorrow. What was the vibe, Paul?
Well, it was post. It was like a morning after the game, so pretty. Actually, I don't know. Was it? I went on a bit of a rant. I don't know. It was, yeah, I think it was sort of in between. It was in between. We had Ange on the show, and he was sort of, I think he brought some perspective. And I thought his take on it was very similar to Pommy's, is that, you know, it's not, you know, just because of this and, you know, you just got to keep improving, you know, Angie's, you know. So he was very, it's good to get his thoughts on it, I thought. I thought he was very modernized in the way he thought about things, which I think is, it's a little bit different from what I think we hear from those 80s and 90s players. It was a different way in, which I thought was really intriguing. More in line with what a lot of our thinking is, I think. Which is good.
Yeah. Well, even Vossi, I mean, if you really strip it back and zoom out, he's been pretty calm under pressure. You know? I don't think he's dropped his bundle when the media are clearly coming for him and trying to get that line out of him. Some people are interpreting it as he's dumbing it down, and that might be the case. I think there is still an element of improvement that we can be putting in our press conferences, addressing some issues, no doubt. It doesn't need to be put in a nice bow for us. Mm. But I still think, I mean, he's either got a really good poker face or he's just keeping himself calm under pressure. I'm not sure.
Cool heads always prevail.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's tomorrow, 7 p.m., the Jumper Punch. Pommy, teams tomorrow, team selection video.
Mate, biggest show in the Carlton community, and we've snared the biggest fish of all. I've got Paolo, I've got the sexy leg dog, I've got the gorgeous Ian, but now I have my Patrick Cripps to my Sam Walsh. I've got Terry as a full-time member, so we have got 5 people, and you, the audience, are Michael Voss, so don't let us down. Look forward to that show. That should be good. Sorry, he's not called Lapdog anymore. He's called Lapdog.
What about the tribunal? What are we going to do?
Who cares?
Yeah, I know.
I'm done with all those. No.
End it.
Don't care.
Put an end to it.
Don't care.
Put an end to it. Ari and Nath will be back with the rest on Wednesday. The besties are blowing up. They'll be out on Wednesday. We have a game on Saturday, so teams will be out on Friday. Team show will be there. And it's just another week. I also want to give a little shout out to a good friend of the channel. Her name's Lauren, and she's actually just started a counseling clinic in Melbourne's northeast. It's called Yarra Counseling. Specializes in working with young people. But people of all ages are welcome. Yes. Lauren's counseling approach is centered on gentle, evidence-based therapies. Reach out to her on Instagram, Yara Counseling on Instagram, or just yaracounseling.com.au. She's a great friend of the channel, and happy to give her a little bit of a plug. All right, we're done.
Before we finish, I did want to give a shout out to Peter Haywood. He's a friend of this channel, all your shows, and Pommy and us. He went to his first game this weekend. He stopped going in 2011. His best friend got ill, and tragically, he passed away after a long fight. But Peter finally broke his duct. He went probably to the worst game, but it was the first time he didn't do a watch along with me and watch it. So send him my love to you, mate. And hopefully the boys can get the dub so you can keep going and we don't have you back. I don't want to see you back on the watch-alongs unless it's interstate. Go back and enjoy the footy and make new memories. But we love you, Pete, if you're watching.
Yeah, love it. Joe, Paolo, Pommy, thank you very much. Thank you very much. It was good. It was good. I feel good. I feel better. I feel like I've got some perspective. And I think the message was put through. This is not the time to turn on each other. It's the time to rally until Saturday night.
Yes. Yes, 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 indeed. Indeed it is. Get there.
Saturday night, doggies, and let's do it. Let's make a run. All right, everyone. Have a good one. Go Blues.
Come on, Blues.
Other baggers.